We are starting a new series this morning. We were talking about mighty men and women of God for a few weeks. And if you remember before that, we did a couple series on getting healthier. And I told you I was going to break away and then come back. So we are going to begin the series called Making Healthier Communities. So we talked about making being healthier ourselves. We talked about healthier homes, healthier churches. And we're looking now at making healthier communities. What does that look like? And if you remember from the beginning of the year, if you were here then at the beginning of the year, this kind of came about because I was praying into the new year and I felt the Lord say that 2024 was going to be the best year ever. And I was excited, but I'm also that kind of guy. I want to know, what do you mean, God, the best year ever? That can mean a lot of things. And I felt the Lord say, it will be the best year ever if we believe it and if we become healthier. And I thought that was an interesting way for him to bring it, but I understood what he meant, healthier in a number of areas. So we've gone through becoming healthier people, healthier homes, healthier churches. We want to look now at making healthier communities. And so we're going to begin that right now today. And I think we're going to look at just three areas of how we can help our community become healthier. And those areas are relationally, financially, and spiritually. Now, obviously, as we go through this, you're going to realize and see that we ourselves need to be somewhat healthy if we're going to bring health to anybody else. But let's go into this. We can make our communities healthier relationally in a few different ways. And the first thing I want to say is this. If you want to help make your community healthier, you're going to need to love others as yourself. Healthy communities have people that care about one another in them. Listen to Romans 13 and verse 8. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." You see, the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. You see, you want to live in a healthy community. Healthy communities, people care about each other. If in our community people are selfish, angry, maybe racist, or they expect special treatment, you simply have division and unhealth. Truly healthy communities have people who are not only living for themselves. And if you and I want to see our communities become healthier, we need to be able to love those around us. We need to be able to care about them, to actually care where they're at and what's happening with them. And an unhealthy community has people only looking out for number one. But I believe that God wants Slave Lake to be the healthiest community there is for a number of reasons. You see, I believe God wants Slave Lake to grow and expand. And just like a plant needs to be healthy to grow, a community has to be healthy before it grows. If a community is in division and nobody can come up with decisions or agree on how we should move forward, communities don't grow. So healthy communities care about one another, and we need to be a healthy community. I believe that Slave Lake is not super unhealthy or anything, but we can become healthier. And when we become healthier in the way God wants, we're going to see change. I have good news. I believe God wants Slave Lake to be financially blessed beyond anything that it has, be an economic hub, to be a source of income for the area. And why do I believe that? Because when Slave Lake is economically blessed, God's kingdom can be economically blessed. It goes together. You can't just have a blessed business in Slave Lake if Slave Lake is crumbling. It's not, but you get my picture. That's not how it works. You can't just pray for your business, but if the economy is bad, your business also won't survive. You got to pray, Lord, bless the community. Lord, bless businesses beyond mine. Because whatever business you have, the blessing is comes from others that are around. It's how it works. So get ready, because I believe when God speaks about something, it's because he's ready to do something. Alberta is the most blessed economic province in Canada, and I believe Slave Lake will be the most blessed community in Alberta. And that's what I'm declaring. So it begins right here with you and I. Can we show love in our community? Can we care about others, not just us? I'm going to go fast today because this is the overview message. And so I'm going to hit a bunch of points and we'll go deeper in the series. So let me just go right on to the next thing about healthier relationships. We make healthier communities relationally by connecting with others who need what we have. You see, Luke 5:30 says this: the scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, you want a healthy community, then you must be willing to give out what you have to others who are in need. You see, people in need and people who are different than us are not our enemy. They actually need what we have. They will not change unless they have a relationship with Jesus. You see, there are things that need to happen sometimes in the spirit. There is people who simply struggle and need us to be there for them. An example, my wife and I were talking about a community, just kind of talking about how they're doing over the years. We've been in the area for many years, and this community, I'll just say, is far, far away. It's not Slave Lake, okay? I'll just say that for sure. Not Slave Lake, a farther away community. And we were just having a discussion about how it's been over the years. We've been, it'll be 27 years in the area, and my wife's dad was there before that. And this community far away was, you know, really a revival had taken place, many believers. But when we were talking and praying about where they were at now, we realized something not healthy was happening in the community. Over the years, the believers kind of became closed off, and everybody who was not a believer in their church was the enemy. So walls were put up, and they're the bad people, we're the good people. And at this season in that community, nobody gets saved. I wonder why. Would you go to a church where they run you down and you're their enemy? Where they talk about you, that you're this horrible, terrible people because you don't agree? Of course they're not coming to your church. I wouldn't go there either. But here's the key. They forgot what their purpose is. Church, our purpose is not to have our little group and just backslap each other and woohoo, high five. Our purpose is to reach out to our communities. Our purpose is to bring life to them. Our purpose is to bring love to them. And yes, to do that, you're going to need to relate to them. You may have to go where they're at. You may have to invite them to where you're at. Connect with those who need. And we're moving quickly. We make healthier communities relationally by being bright lights in our community. So we talked about loving them. We talked about you'll need some connection. Now we're going to talk about the doing of relationship. Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." We need to be willing to do good to others. This is a part of having healthy relationships in your community. We have to be willing to say, "Lord, what can I do to help my neighbor? What can I do to help people who need it in my community? Is there something I can do to make a difference?" And this could be small. It could start out simple, easy, but You need to have your heart open to say, what can I do? I actually want to challenge you this week. Ask the Lord, what can I do good for somebody in my community? Okay? And maybe make it someone who's not from your church. Just because I want to stretch you a little bit. Okay? Are you guys good with that? That's the challenge. But that's the challenge. So you pray about it and do it. It could be as simple as buying someone coffee at Tim Hortons. You know, it can change somebody's day. Did you know that? My wife and I went through the Tim Hortons lineup, I think it was about a week ago. And, you know, if you go through there with kids, anyhow, we get to the thing and they're like, oh, somebody here in this store said they're paying for your stuff. Oh, awesome. We've done that. We've gone through and, you know, just feel it. God saying, you need to do this. I remember eating out at a restaurant one time. My wife nudged me. She said, pay for that table over there. We didn't even know who they were. It can be that simple. Begin to open your heart to doing good, to helping others, because you don't know what they're going through. Maybe they're thinking, does God even know I exist? And they get to the thing and somebody's paid for it. He does. He cares. And it may be more. But you listen. You listen to what God's saying and you give out. I believe those good deeds are what make us shine. Because think about it, you're not a bright light, you know, because you use a certain kind of face wash or whatever. You're a bright light, it's very clear by the things you do good. Isn't that amazing? Not by how big you talk, the things you do good. So let's do it. Let's not be dark, let's be bright. When you're in traffic and you just feel like you want to shout at that person ahead of you, don't. Okay? You pray for them. Lord, we pray for that person who doesn't know how to drive. No, but pray for them. Okay, let's keep going. We need to make healthier communities financially. And so we're talking relationally, now we're going to talk financially. And I told you, I'm really hitting them fast. We'll go deeper in the weeks ahead. But financially is something that you and I, as believers, we have the blessing and favor of God on us financially, and that will allow us to bless our communities. We bring God's favor to our businesses, to our workplaces, and that in turn blesses the community. But let me give you some scripture. Now, of course, first of all, we need to be healthy financially, or we're not going to be a blessing to our community financially. So it begins with us as usual. And for us personally, we need a healthy financial plan. Hey, we talk about this every once in a while in our church. If you don't have a financial plan, you should. Some people call it a budget, but it sounds nicer when you say financial plan. Some people think budget is a bad word. It's not, okay? It's knowing and telling your money where to go instead of getting to the end of the month and wondering where it went. All right? Well, that was good. I think I got that straight from the finance course, that statement. We do a finance course here, and we do it every once in a while. If there's people interested in being part of a finance course to learn about finances and how to do it better, we will set another one here in the future. We keep doing it, but the more people we know interested, and we'll get it set to go. Getting healthy in your finances by getting out of debt. That is also important. Let's be honest, we want to do good for others, but when you're in debt, it's tough. When you're like, oh, I can barely pay the bills, it makes it really hard to do good for others. So get healthy ourselves first. Now, making our communities healthier financially, once we're healthy, then we do that by being generous people in our community. I believe that Christians should be the most generous people in any community. And again, you hear us talking about church and your tithe and stuff, but right now I'm talking about our communities. We should be able to be generous in our communities, you know, beyond what we're giving at church. It makes a difference to the community. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. You see, the church from its earliest days was radically generous. Being generous can change your community. Now, if you get a newspaper or whatever, you see often that large businesses will donate to this cause or that cause. Well, individuals can be generous in different ways in their community. Your businesses can be generous in ways that make a difference. And when you do this, God says he will bless you and pour back in. You see, the thing about finances and being generous, when you're generous by being obedient, then God pours back in. And when you hear me talk about finance, I always want to include obedient to the Lord. I don't ever want people to feel manipulated, pressured, or, you know, arm wrestled into giving something. That's not how God does it. But being obedient, and I remember this story years ago. I read this, and it was a gentleman who had gone through God teaching him how to be generous. And I'm going to say right before I tell this story, this was him. Nobody else has to do what this guy did. This was him hearing from God. But he felt God tell him that he needed to give a vehicle to somebody. And, you know, so he kind of prayed about it, and so he said, okay, Lord, I'll give a vehicle. And he gave his vehicle away, and God blessed him back. Now, God blessed him by giving him wisdom and a good job. Some of his blessing came back just because of his financial know-how, and sometimes there was miracle blessings back, okay? But he actually gave it of what he had, so he gave his car away. And then there came another time where he felt God saying to give both his cars away. He had two vehicles. I was like, okay, God, if that's what you're saying, I know I can't outgive you. If you're saying, I'll do it. And he gave both vehicles away. God made a way for him to get back even more. He was blessed, and, you know, he's just doing what God asked him to do. And then he hears God say, I want you to give your house away to somebody. Yeah, you can go like, what? That's okay. I said, God told him. He didn't tell you. Don't anybody get worried. But he said, okay, God, if that's what you're saying, I'll give my house away. And he gave his house to somebody. You can imagine the blessing from the other side, but I'm just telling you, from his side, he was being obedient. And so he gave his house away. And then he tells later on, a number of years later in his life, he heard the Lord say, I want you to give everything away. Everything? Yeah, everything. And I remember reading it, and because he said, you know, when I was younger and I give stuff away, it was easy to work and see it all come back. But he actually had a little bit of doubt when God said everything because he was a little older now. But he prayed about it. He said, okay, God, if that's what you're saying, I'll do it. And he gave everything away. Now, I do believe he was married, so that means he asked his wife permission before he gave everything away. I just want to say that. If he didn't, he is now single. But anyways, he gave everything away. He ended up God blessing him back in many, many different ways because he was obedient. So the reason I even brought this story today is in the area of finances and blessing your community, it's not a matter of being pressured or trying to look good. It's a matter of being obedient. What are you feeling in your heart? When you're obedient to help that one, to reach out to that one, you begin to change your community. So I want you to learn to be obedient because you see, when you're obedient in the little things, God says he'll give you more. If you can be obedient in your tithe at church, God will give you more. If you can be obedient to that little nudge of, why don't you buy that person's groceries? I remember being in the grocery store and the person behind us said, oh, I'm going to pay for your groceries today. I'm like, really? No, you shouldn't. No, I didn't say that. I was like, sure. I'm in the hole right now. You didn't know that, but let me get out of the way. Here's the debit machine. You know, God always wants to bless. My wife and I have had many opportunities where we've done things the opposite way, and God always blesses back. Do the same to others that you'd want them to do to you. That's how it works. So be obedient. That's all I'm saying. You listen with your heart and be obedient in the area of finances. And finally, in the area of making our communities financially healthy, we can do that by using our wisdom and our words to our community. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. That means the blessing God's given you, but it's also specifically talking about your words. Because then how it says the mouth of the wicked, overthrow it. What does that mean? Let me say it to you like this. You live in Slave Lake. If you're constantly saying, oh, Slave Lake is such a horrible town. Oh, Slave Lake, nothing's going to work. You are actually using your words to overthrow the place you live. That's a bad idea. Instead, why aren't you declaring what God wants for Slave Lake instead? That doesn't mean everything's perfect, but you start declaring. Slave Lake is a healthy town. It is economically strong and getting stronger. Slave Lake is a place where people want to raise their families because we work hard to make sure that they want to raise their families here. Slave Lake is a place that people want to come and do business. And you're like, I don't know, is it? No, I'm declaring this. I'm saying that's where I want to live. And as we speak the word of God, then things come into line to make it so. But if we are simply shouting from the rooftops how horrible it is, we are actually doing something to our town that's not healthy. Now, there are places you can go to speak what's on your heart or what needs to be changed. Then do that. Go to the right people. Call up your town counselors and say, hey, this is on my mind. There's public forums where you're meant to go and talk about it. Use those avenues. But then when you can declare what you want to see in Slave Lake, you declare it. You bless it with your words. Because I tell you what, if you're like me, God has brought you here. And he's not about to take you out because you complained lots. Take you out kind of sounds rough. He's not about to move you somewhere. Wherever God puts you, change it. Whatever place God moves you to, make it better. Whatever job he calls you to, change it. Don't complain about it. Start declaring it and start changing it. And pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for the people. Pray for those in authority. You see, we're called to pray for our politicians and our mayor and our counselors, not to trash them. They're only doing the best they can with what they have. We need to hold them up in prayer. And that brings me to my next point. We need to make healthier communities spiritually. And church, the first way you do that is by praying for your community. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. You and I need to pray for the community we live in. What does that look like? Again, I just began to tell you, pray for your mayor, pray for your counselors, pray that God gives them wisdom and discernment in their decisions. Pray that God blesses their families and protects them. Being in leadership puts you in a target area. Enemies don't like godly leaders. We live in a spiritual world where there's a spiritual enemy that doesn't want a community to survive, doesn't want a community to be blessed, doesn't want churches to see people saved. Anybody in leadership has put themselves in a target position. So please pray for those who are in council. So we pray, and the word they used here is intercede on their behalf. You guys, this is more than, you know, like the 10-second prayer for your food. Lord, bless my food. Lord, bless those in leadership. No, he said intercede. There's a difference. This word intercede goes a whole lot deeper. When you are interceding for someone, you are putting yourself as if you were in their place, and you are praying until a change happens. You are going for this, and you're not going to quit until God blesses, God does it. Interceding is saying, I'm going to have a prayer meeting about this, not a bless them as you, no, a prayer meeting. Lord, what is it that they're going through? What does their family need? What decisions are they struggling with? God, show me how to pray for them. and then you begin to pray. Do you know that some people, when they intercede, will fast at the same time? But church, we make a change spiritually by praying, not just complaining and shouting on social media. I just know you really want to make a difference, and there's a way to make a difference, and there's a way just to be loud. Don't just be loud, make a difference. So find out how that works. Okay, we're going to keep going. Making healthy communities spiritually. We make them healthier first by praying, and secondly, by dealing with sin and evil. This is really important. You can't just pray and then do nothing. Prayer is the beginning. Faith takes action. Okay? Prayer is going to God and hearing what he wants and asking him to move in the spirit, and then faith takes action. And nothing happens without taking action as well. Proverbs 29:2, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked are in power, they groan. You see, ignoring sin or evil in a community is like avoiding or ignoring sickness or pain in our bodies. If we refuse to deal with it properly, we will become very unhealthy. We may become unable to function, and we may even die. You see, even in communities, you can't just ignore evil and sin and think, oh, well, it'll fix itself. If somebody doesn't do something about it, it gets worse. So, there's prayer, and yes, there's action that should be taken when there is evil or sin happening in a community. James 4, verse 7 says, humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, the devil, the enemy who wants to bring evil and sin, must be resisted. Everybody say resist. That means to stand up against, to push against. You see, resistance is when you're pulling it, when you're pushing it. So even in a community, you can't simply do nothing and expect things that are wrong or evil to change. Things will have to be done. And yes, you and I can also play a part in that. I remember a number of years ago, one of my daughters was about 5 years old, and for some reason we were having a talk about alcohol. And as a five-year-old, she had a lot of understanding, so we were driving uptown, and she's asking about it. I said, well, it can cause a lot of problems, and you know, we went into a few other things, and as we're driving, she looks over and she says, what is that store? We're driving down, it's a liquor store. I said, well, that's a liquor store. That's where they sell alcohol. And the next thing that comes out of her mouth is, Dad, somebody should bust that thing down. And I knew as a five-year-old, she wanted me to turn and go over there and bust it down. And I kind of laughed. I said, well, you're passionate. But I said, here's the thing. If I go bust it down, they're just going to build it again because we can't change it by simply busting buildings, but people's hearts need to change. And people really want that. And then I told her, but you know, we can pray that God closes some liquor stores down. If that's what you want, we can pray that, but it's going to take changing hearts of people that really makes a difference. And I would like to say that that liquor store did close down. So praise God for that, for the passion of a five-year-old. Now, again, without changing hearts, it really doesn't make any difference, does it? So you and I need to say, evil, no, we're willing to stand up. We're willing to do something. We're not going to let it take over. We're going to say what can be done, as well as showing love to make sure that our communities are healthy in that area. Okay, I can't say any more about that. You see, healthier communities become really healthy when we don't forget our main purpose, church, and that is to help people find and follow Jesus. Let's be honest, you want a really healthy community, you need healthy people. And I have found that bringing people to follow Christ causes them to become healthy. Because a healthy people makes a healthy community. Listen to Acts 2 and verse 40. You see, Peter knew that bringing people to Christ was what would change his world. And it says that Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Jesus came to change lives. And in John 10, verse 10, Jesus spoke these words. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that people might have life and that they could have it more abundantly." You truly want a healthy community? Show people to have life, an abundant life. And that happens when we bring them to Jesus. You see, people who follow Christ bring life and abundance to their community automatically. So let me ask this question as we wrap up. You're here today. Have you made a decision to follow Christ? Have you made a decision to allow Him to give you life and life more abundantly? Because having a healthy community begins ultimately with you. And so I need to ask that question. Do you want Him to lead you? If you do, it's simple. You see, He wants to, what we call, bring salvation. You know, we had communion earlier. We talked about His shed blood and His broken body. You see, that blood that He shed was that you could be forgiven, that your life could be transformed and changed, that you could be made right with the Heavenly Father. And you receive it very simply. You simply receive it by using words and asking. Scripture says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is real, that He died for you and rose again, speak it with your mouth and you will be saved. So we're going to make opportunity to do that right now. In case there's one, in case there's two or three here who have not yet done that, I'm going to say a simple prayer and you can repeat it after me. There's no power in the prayer. It just allows you to use words. So I'm going to ask you all to join me. We're not trying to single anybody out. And we're going to pray right now. So repeat this after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. I ask You now to forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I will follow You." Amen.